he convinced people that God really wants to do these things in your life, that he doesn't want you in bondage, that he doesn't want you sick. And people were so gripped by this that they would come to Jesus and they would fall at his knees and they would grab the hem of his garment and they would touch him and they would beg him and he would say, be healed. And they would be healed. Why? Because somebody convinced them God wants to do it. See, that's what preachers are supposed to do. But I know some other preachers. They must have gone to the school of the Pharisees or something. And they're better at telling you why it can't happen, why it's not going to happen, why you probably it won't work for you. Because you never know what God's going to do. Sounds spiritual, but it's not biblical. And so these 12 spies go into the promised land. These 12 spies come back and they say, it's just like God said. It's just like God said. Just like God said. This land is flowing with milk and honey and it's fruit and it's amazing and this is awesome. The only problem was 10 of those spies said, nevertheless, there's giants in the land. See, what happens, that's the way fear sounds. I know that God said it, but. I know God. It says that it's God's will, but. You don't know what the doctor said, but. You don't know my family, but you don't know me, but you don't know what I've done, but you don't know what I'm facing, but you don't know the obstacles that I have in front of me, my learning disabilities, or the obstacles against me in society, but. And they're giants, 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 giants. There's always giants in your land. There are always barriers in the land. Funny how the very thing you're called to is probably the thing you're most afraid of. And probably the thing you're not very good at either. Because the Lord wants to get glory through you. And so these spies went into the land and 10 of them came back and said, we can't do it. We can't do it. Because there are these giants in the land. They're bigger than us. They're stronger than us. And they had excuses. Fear has a voice. Fear will always tell you why you can't do it and will paralyze you and keep you in the wilderness. And so you have these 10 spies saying, we can't do it. But Joshua and Caleb, remember Joshua and Caleb? And they were the only two that went into the promised land 4 years later. 4 years later. Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, no, we are well able, more than conquerors. There's another preacher who talked like that. His name was the Apostle Paul. He said, we are more than conquerors to him who loves us. We are more than conquerors. We are well able. We can do it because God loves us. He's on our side. That's how faith talks. Fear has a voice, but faith has a voice too. Fear will preach to you, but faith will preach to you too. And Joshua and Caleb, they tried to convince the people, no, don't rebel against God. Don't be afraid. But the people said, no, God's trying to kill us. We'll do that a lot of times. We'll actually accuse God and his blessings of trying to harm us. Why did you call me to this? Why did you do this? Why did you make this promise to me? Why did I ever trust you in this, Lord? Because now everything's falling apart. And we start talking like the Israelites. Death, 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 death. Giants in the land, we're going to die. It's not going to work. God, how come you did this? How come you haven't answered my prayer yet? And we whine and we complain like the Israelites. That's how fear talks. That's the voice of fear. But Joshua and Caleb said, no, guys, don't rebel against the Lord. We can do it. And now this man of faith, Joshua, along with Caleb and this second generation of Israelites, they are ready to enter into the promised land. And God is speaking to Joshua. Don't be afraid, Joshua. Do not be afraid. Why is he saying that? Because it's going to get difficult. It's going to get difficult. He's going to face a Jericho, a wall that is super thick. And the Bible says, and that city was shut up. Just locked up, fortified city. There's going to be giants in that land. There's going to be difficulties and such. And God is saying to Joshua, when it gets difficult, don't forget, I am with you. When it gets difficult and you're scared or tempted to be scared, do not be dismayed. Don't let that fear drain you of all courage. But he says to him, but be strong and very courageous. That's the word of the Lord to us. The Lord is saying, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to bless what you put your hand to. But you need to move into it. And you need to be strong and courageous. There was this little boy who was very afraid of the dark. And his mom needed his help in the kitchen. And so she said to her, she's cooking, and she said to her boy, son, can you please go in the pantry and get some flour for me? I need some flour. I'm baking and such. And their pantry was one of those walk-in pantries with a door, and it was dark in there. He didn't like the pantry. He didn't want to go in the pantry. And he said, but mommy, I'm scared. It's dark in there. I don't want to go in there. And, you know, it sounds like a normal conversation between a mom and a son. And she said to him, you know, son, don't be afraid. Jesus will be with you. Sounds like something I'd say to my kids. And so the little boy says, okay. He musters up his courage, and he goes to the pantry door, and he opens the door, but it's dark in there. I mean, he can't see the back of the pantry. And so he says, Jesus, if you're in there, can you get the flour? First of all, I think that boy's pretty smart. But second of all, that's not how it works, huh? Anybody who lives by faith, you know, oh, he's with you, but he's going to go in there with you. He's going to help you. I love this definition of courage. It says that courage is doing what you're afraid to do. This person said that there can be no courage unless you're scared. Between you and your promised land, there is a Jericho wall. Between you and your destiny, there is a Goliath. And it's the very thing you're scared of. It's that fear of failure. It's that fear of it being too hard. It's that fear of embarrassment or rejection. And your flesh says, do it the easy way. Go easy. Don't do that. It will be difficult. Don't do that. It will be too hard. Don't do that. You'll fail. That's what your flesh says, and the devil, and your carnal mind, and all those things are speaking to you. It is easy to do things the way of the world. It is difficult to walk in the Spirit. It takes courage to walk in the Spirit. It is easy to talk like everybody else at work. It takes courage to speak words of honor about our employers, or to speak words of kindness. Isn't that true? It is easy to just give in to that bondage or addiction, that sin. Easy to just let that record player keep playing over and over and over again. It takes courage to rise up, to confess sin, to humble ourselves, to break free, and to walk in the freedom the Lord has for us. It takes courage. The calling that God has for you, it will require courage. That's why the Lord says to Joshua, be strong and courageous, because you cannot do what God has called you to do without courage. It might mean education, or it might mean some sacrifice. It might mean you have to work on some character issues in your life. Probably means all that. And it won't be the easy route. It will be difficult. And that's why you need the Lord. And the Lord is saying, like he said to that little boy, I'll be with you, even in the dark. Now let's go get the flour. Come on, let's go in there. I don't want to go in there. Come on, let's go. Let's go get that flour. Do you remember how David spoke to Goliath? Do you remember that story? Or let me say it this way. Do you remember how fear spoke to David? David heard this Goliath, this giant of a man, defying Israel. Everybody was scared. All their courage had drained out. But David had something else in him, didn't he? The Bible calls it a different spirit. It was said of Joshua in Numbers 14. God said to Joshua, but my servant, or he says Caleb and Joshua, but he says, my servant Caleb, who has a different spirit. David had that same spirit about him, meaning a spirit of faith. one who believed what God said is true. See, people of faith, we don't live by what we see, we live by what God said. Faith will see what God's word says coming to pass rather than just seeing what's going on around us and seeing that fear. And so you remember that David heard Goliath taunting, and faith rose up in him, and he said, I'm going to take that guy out. Remember, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I mean, that's pretty personal if you think about it. It was a low blow. So he says, who is this guy talking? He doesn't have a covenant with God. God's not on his side. God's on our side. And this word got around, and he was brought to Saul. Do you remember what Saul said to him? You can't do it. You can't do it. This is Saul, the king. In fact, in many ways, it was David's mentor until he turned on him. Saul says to him, you can't do it. How many times does fear say to us, you can't do it? And sometimes it comes from our parents or a mentor. Listen to me. Even if the person you emulate the most, your mentor, tells you you can't do what God has called you to do, they're wrong. I praise the Lord for mentors, godly men and women who are going to stand with us and encourage us. But sometimes they didn't hear the Lord either. Or sometimes they're a Saul and they got no faith anyways. Amen. Saul didn't know the Lord. Saul was a very passive leader, very passive, very fearful. So of course somebody like that's going to say to you, no, no, you can't do it. Because that's what's in them. They're afraid. They've compromised the will of God in their life. They've stopped the call of God. And so they want to tell you, no, 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 that's too hard. That's too scary. That's too hard for you. Do something easier. No, 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 you can't do that. And it's not the voice of wisdom. Wisdom would come along and say, no, 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 you can do it. But hey, it's going to take this, that, and the other thing. It's going to be difficult, but we'll support you and such. No, wisdom's going to help you to move in that direction that the Lord calls you to. Fear just said, no, you can't do it. And what did David say to Saul? He was honoring to Saul, but he said to him, oh, no, 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 no. When I was younger, I killed a lion and I killed a bear. I mean, we know at least he killed one lion, at least one bear. And he said, just like the Lord delivered me from that bear and that lion, the Lord's going to deliver me from this Philistine. He's going to say, he's going to be like, he's just a saint. He's like a bear. He's like a lion. I'm going to take him out. I'm going to take him out because God's going to be with me. See, when fear speaks to you, you need to speak back to fear. This is what the Lord is trying to get to us to see today. The 10 spies, they spoke fear. We can't do it. Joshua and Caleb said, no, we can do it. Saul says to David, you can't do it. And David said, no, 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 no. God will do it. When fear speaks to you, you need to speak to fear. You're wondering, how do I overcome fear? How do I really move forward in my life? You say, David, this is all nice and fine. I've got a calling in my life, but I have been struggling with fear since I was a kid. How do I do this? You have to speak to it. Look at the testimony in the Bible. They weren't silent. They spoke to it. You have to speak to that fear. Use your words and speak to that fear. Remember Goliath? David got on the armor and that didn't work, so he took the armor off and he just took his staff and he took the stones and the sling because that's what he was used to. He came and he stood before Goliath and Goliath saw him and Goliath began to taunt him. Do you remember that? Oh, what am I, a dog, that you come out and tease me with sticks? And then Goliath said to David, you remember this, 1 Samuel 17, he said, I'm going to feed your body to the birds of the air. Basically saying, come here, boy, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. What did David do? Did David shrink back? Did he live by what he saw with his eyes? Did he allow those words to discourage him? No, but he remembered, do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Remember Psalm 27? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Do you see what David's saying? No, God is with me. I will not fear. See, that's courage in the midst of fear. David wasn't saying that he wasn't afraid. He's just denying that it has any place in his heart. The temptation to fear comes. But David spoke to that fear. No, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He's basically saying, I'm not going to be afraid. You've got to speak to that fear. You've got to tell it, like King David did in Psalm 27 and many other psalms, I will not fear, for the Lord is with me. God speaks it to you, but you need to speak it out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. It's called the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6. So Goliath stood up and he taunts David, and David turns around and what does he say? He says, oh, no, 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 no. Let me tell you how it's going to work. See, fear will prophesy to you what will happen. Fear will tell you this is how it's going to go down. Fear will paint a picture with words in your mind of the future, but it's not the future God has for you. Amen. David said, no, 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 no. That's not how it's going to work. Let me tell you how it's going to work. David spoke to that fear. He spoke to that Goliath. He spoke to that giant. And he said, no, 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 no. I'm going to take your head off of you. He says, you come at me with a sword and a spear. That's all you got? That's all you got? All you got is your big muscles? That's all you got? You're trusting in the world system? You're bigger and badder than me, and you think that's going to take me out? I come at you in the name of the Lord. See, you got to know who you are. You got to know who your God is. You've got to know your authority in the Lord. You've got to know that God is on my side. He's not on that guy's side. And you've got to know that we don't fight with weapons that are carnal, but weapons that are mighty in God. The Bible says, mighty in God. What is that? That's the word of God. The sword of the Spirit. And David said, I'm going to cut your head off. He didn't even have a sword. You know that? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17, a little bit later, it says, and David did not have a sword in his hand. But where was the sword? In his mouth. The sword of the Spirit was coming out of his mouth. He was speaking words. I'm going to cut your head off. And then he says, and not only am I going to feed your body to the birds of the air, he says, I'm going to feed all y'all. He didn't even stop at Goliath. He said, all you, hey, you guys over there, all you Philistines, see, all you guys trying to harm God's people. Oh, yeah, all y'all going to be fed to the birds. Going to be a buffet. All you can eat, Philistine. Hometown Philistine buffet. He said, I'm going to take you out. But see, listen, that's how faith talks. Do you talk like that? Or do you let fear preach to you? Unanswered. It needs to stop today. Do you hear me? Somebody say amen. Amen. It stops today. Somebody tell the Lord, Lord, I will not fear. Because you are with me. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. You're going to go before me. You're going to give me victory. So I tell fear, be silent. Get away from me. The Lord is with me. See, you've got to speak to that fear. You've got to speak to that fear. Just like David spoke to Goliath. Fear says, this is what's going to happen. You say, no, this is what's going to happen. Faith rises up and declares and prophesies the will of God. See, this is what we're doing for over our church, over our lives, over 2018. It's not that we're just waiting to see. Well, I don't know. We'll just wait and see what happens. No, if you wait and see what happens, you're just kind of hiding in the wilderness. No, what we do as believers is we rise up, we hear the word of the Lord for 2018. We hear the word of the Lord for our life, for our marriages, for our children, for our work, for our ministry, for our calling, for the fruit that God wants us to bear in reaching people for Jesus, seeing them healed and saved and delivered and discipled, and we begin to prophesy that. We prophesy what God is going to do in 2018. We prophesy it with our faith by the leading of the Spirit. We prophesy it and we speak to that fear. And we say, nope, you're going down. God's will be done this year. That's how faith speaks. Amen? Praise the Lord. Go ahead and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't this what Jesus did? Didn't Jesus time and time again prophesy to death, and I will rise again on the third day? Listen, he prophesied exactly what was going to happen. The Son of Man will be betrayed. He will be beaten. He will be crucified. He will be buried in a grave. Because, by the way, that was his calling, was it not? He was called to do that. It wasn't like an accident or something. He was called to lay down his life as a sacrifice. And so he says, that's what's going to happen. But do you remember how many times he said, and the Son of Man will rise on the third day. And the Son of Man will rise on the third day. They didn't get it. Those disciples didn't understand it. But do you know what Jesus was doing? And the Son of Man will rise on the third day. He was speaking words of life. He was speaking that destiny. He was prophesying what would happen. And it is what happened. You need to speak to that fear. You're not going to die. And you're not going to fail. You're going to fulfill the will of God in your life. You're going to fulfill the calling of God. You're going to break through that thing that's been hindering you, that bondage or addiction. It's done. And you're going to step into your calling and walk in the freedom and the blessing that God has for you. But you need to speak to that. You need to speak to it. Remember when Jairus came and asked Jesus, "My little daughter's dying. Would you come and heal her?" And Jesus said, "Oh, I'll come and heal her." But before he even made it, because he got distracted healing somebody else, Jairus' friends came to him and said, "Don't bother the master. Don't bother Jesus any longer, because your daughter is dead." See, we think death is the final word. But what did Jesus say? "Do not fear, only believe." Do you hear what he did? The moment that this testimony, and it's not like Jesus was denying that it wasn't true, he just denied that it had any right to stay there. The moment that that person said, "Hey, the daughter's dead," where everybody else would have given up and said, "Oh, well, that's too hard for God. Well, I guess it wasn't his will then. Oh, I guess we're too late." Jesus said, "Do not fear." What was he saying? Don't fear death. Don't fear that it's too late. Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't fear. He says to him what? Only believe. Only believe. See, fear wants to get in there and rob you. What did God say to Joshua? I think it's very important. In Joshua 1, he says, "Only be strong and courageous. Only be strong and courageous." He's telling Joshua, fear's going to want to get in there. But only, he's saying, don't let it in. Only be courageous. Same thing that Jesus says, or the same reality. Jesus saying, do not fear. Don't let that in there. Only believe. So Jairus, okay. Jairus went with Jesus, and they went into that dark pantry. Jairus trusted Jesus enough to go with him, and Jesus walks over to Jairus' house where everybody's weeping and mourning, and Jesus says to everybody, hey, what's all this weeping? She's alive. She's just sleeping. And they all laughed at him and made fun of him, speaking words of life. And then he kicked them out because he's like, man, I don't want all this. I don't want all that. Words. He said, get out of here. So he kicks everybody out except for a couple disciples and Jairus and his wife. And they go over to the little girl, you remember. And he says to her, "Little girl, it's time to get up." And her spirit came back into her. You've got to speak to that fear. You've got to speak words of life. When we were going to start this church a little over a year ago, we didn't have a building. We didn't have anything, and we couldn't find anything. Things were either too expensive, it just wouldn't fit, the time wouldn't work, nothing was happening. And the Lord kept telling me, as I told you last week, the Lord kept saying, don't give up, keep going. Sometimes we want the Lord to tell us exactly what we're supposed to do, and he won't tell us. Instead, what he told me, and he's done it many times, he said, just move forward, just keep going. I'm with you, it'll work, keep going. I found the Lord many times. He's just telling me, if you give up, it's not going to happen. But if you'll keep going, I've already promised to be with you, to direct your steps. I'm going to answer your prayers. Don't give up. Keep going. So I did. I kept going and got down to basically a week where if we did not have something, we wouldn't have been able to launch. Okay? It was getting very serious. Obviously, I'm scared and I'm concerned, and yet I hadn't given up, kept going, kept looking, kept calling everywhere, emailing. We're praying. My wife and I get together. Michelle, a woman of faith, she stands with me and she says, we need to be in agreement. So we said, yeah, amen. So we stand in agreement and we just declare, and it's not like the first time, but man, there's that unity of faith. And we just stood in faith. We came against fear and we declared, Lord, you're going to bless us with a building. We're going to do this. You called us to this. You're not going to leave us, right? And I believe the Lord is saying that to some of you where you feel like something's going to fall apart. And the Lord's saying, I brought you this far. I'm not going to drop you now. You're not going to die. You're not going to fail. I brought you this far. I'm with you. So I remember I was actually reading and meditating and praying, and the Lord led me by His Spirit to 1 Samuel 17, the story of David and Goliath. And I'm just reading that, and all of a sudden, as I'm reading this, it's not just a story. It's not just a testimony of what God did then. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit quickened in my own spirit, and faith rose in me when I read this verse. David said it this way to Goliath. He said, this day I will cut your head off. I'd never seen it. I'd never seen those words, and it wasn't really relevant to me until, as I'm looking at these words, all of a sudden faith came in me, and I knew it in my spirit. The Holy Spirit was saying, this day. This day. And I closed my Bible, and I said, thank you, Lord. And I declare in the name of Jesus, this day we'll get a building. This day we'll get a building. This day we'll get a building. Lord, I thank you that you said it. And I just sensed it from the Lord, and that faith rose in my heart. I declared it. And guess what happened? That very day, I got an email from this place. That day, we went and viewed it. It wasn't that day that we secured the lease and all that, but that day, the email came. We viewed it. We talked a little bit. We came to an agreement. Within, I believe it was a day or two, we had everything solidified. We started our marketing. We launched this church. The Lord provided for this, and He'll provide the next one, and the next thing, and the next thing. Everything I've ever needed, the Lord has provided. But do you see what He did? That was just a word of the Lord for me, that God put faith in my heart to declare it. I had to, you got to speak to it. Amen. You've got to speak it. You've got to declare what God is going to do. And if you'll get your words speaking what God's going to do, it will open up things for it to happen. So you're trying to deal with things in the natural, but this is a spiritual issue. Fear is a spiritual issue. And a lot of times the breakthrough that needs to happen is spiritual. I had to declare that first to open up things in the spiritual realm before the natural stuff could happen. All right, we got to do the natural stuff. We got to be wise and do this and blah, 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 and be practical about some things. But if you don't speak to that fear, if you don't prophesy what God's going to do, it won't open up the possibility. Amen? Amen? Anybody want to rise up? Anybody want to grab hold of what God has for them? Anybody want to prophesy what God's going to do? Yeah, amen. Stand up with me. Stand up with me. Thank you, Lord. Declare it again. Declare it, God. Somebody declare, God, you are with me. You are for me and not against me. You brought me this far and you're not going to leave me now. You will come through. You will bring victory. You will provide for me. You will answer my prayers. I will not be afraid. I will not give up now. But I rise up in the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I will move forward. And I will have what God has for me. I will receive what God has for me. And I give God all the glory. Amen. Give Him glory right now, church. Give Him glory.